Thank you. Just identify yourself for the record.
Rob Cody, Ward 7. I have a number of questions for the mayor and Director Salitro relative to specific line items in the budget, which are also directly relative to, is this mic on?
Yes.
Which are relative to certain provisions in the contract. But since everybody's been speaking about asphalt, let me weigh in. Since three of the council members and the mayor have alluded to that person that said we can't pay $5 million worth of asphalt, that would be me. And if you recall, at the last budget hearing, when you allocated $5 million to asphalt, and I spoke to the council, and I asked the council if they had the logistics and the engineering done with a list of what streets to be paved, the answer was no. And I did some simple math, and I said, if in fact you start on July 1, which is the first day of the fiscal year, you'll need to spend $210,000 plus per week in order to expend the asphalt budget. And if you recall, Councilman Solomon, you and I had extensive conversation about this before and after. And I said to you, maybe if you get really good weather, you'll spend $2 million. If I understand correctly from the finance chair, and I'm reading this correctly, in fact, that's just about what you spent, right? $1.9 million on paving, correct?
I think it was 2.6 was the testimony.
Not according to this.
No, he was adding in what the National Grid had also contributed.
That's separate, though. That's
well,
that.
I think you're talking about time frames and how long it takes to pave a road.
Well, National Grid is reimbursing, correctly?
Okay. Correct. Yep.
So we spent about $1.9 million, and we had $3.1 million left over out of that budget. Where did that $3.1 million go? Is there a transfer resolution for that?
The funds were transferred. $3.1 million was transferred to 63850 budget reduction plan.
Okay. So now this year, we know we paved 2.1. And Director Salitro, did you say that, I'm sorry, did you give a date as to when the asphalt, when the paving is going to begin for the monies that are allocated in this budget?
No, we didn't.
Do we have an expected date when paving will commence with the monies that are allocated from this budget?
Not at this time.
Okay. Is there a list of the streets and priority that we have that are going to be paved this year?
There'll be a continuity of the streets that we left off with.
I didn't hear that again. Please say that again.
There will be a continuity, a continuation from the streets that we left off at. Last year we were restricted due to weather. I don't know if you're familiar with the asphalt business or laying asphalt or anything of that nature or the engineering involved. But asphalt plants close down.
December 15th.
And there's a particular time when asphalt, particular temperature and climate controls where asphalt basically can adhere or be applied for a long-lasting application. And a lot of the asphalt companies do not wish to go when the climate changes above a certain temperature. And that was suspended at that time. But that wasn't because the number of streets that needed repaving were completed. That was because of weather, not because there weren't more streets that needed repaving.
I understand.
As a matter of fact, there were some streets that were planned that are scheduled first to be done this year.
So I do understand that, Mayor, because
good.
As you know, I'm a construction inspector, and
I don't know what you do for a living, Mr. Cody.
Okay. Well, I've had extreme amount of experience in that, and the reason I'm asking the question, so you don't misunderstand the question, what I'm asking is there a list of streets that has been developed that we have in succession that are going to be paved by priority? Do we have that as of July 1?
As I stated, when the asphalt program stopped last year due to climate conditions, that didn't mean that all streets that were slated to be done were completed. So yes, there's going to be a continuity with the program that was in place at the end of the last seasonal cessation of application of asphalt.
Okay, so I understand that because you said that twice, but I think you're missing the question.
Yes, I did.
That the question that I'm trying to say is there a list of streets that will be on that continuation list that has been developed as of this date where if we have perfect weather and the contractors and the logistics and the engineering are in place, what street is going to go first? Do you have a list?
I would have to ask the engineer.
Well, I would think that the department director would know the answer to that.
I'm telling you I would have to ask the engineer, and I will ask the engineer.
Okay, so it would appear that as of right now, that answer is either no or we don't know.
I would say I would have to ask the engineer.
Okay, so I just want to say that, and I'll go on record again. I hope you pave all the streets, Mayor, because we need it. It's desperately overdue. But there is no way that you are going to spend $5 million on paving. No possible way. So although I like to see the initiative, I would like to see that the initiative was realistic and that that initiative of paving and expenditures was based on some historical data. The historical data that we do have suggests that you will not be able to spend $5 million in paving. So if, in fact, we had started paving April 17th and we had great weather and the plants opened up, and if you took what we did last year, maybe you might spend another million too. You might approach $3 million. But I can assure you, Mayor, that if you can spend $5 million in paving, I will take you, the city council, and every one of your staff members to Capriccio's every night for a month. It's not going to happen. And the reason that I'm saying this is not to be negative. I'm trying to be realistic in terms of the taxpayers' money, that we're going to allocate $5 million for a task that we had to do last year, we attempted to do last year, and we didn't make it. But, you know, so maybe we need some efficiency, maybe we need some more contractors. It seems that as of this date, those are all the unknowns, right? We don't know if we have five contractors or two contractors or however many contractors. But I think one of the things that's very instrumental in our roads, and we've had this conversation before, on any given day, we've got probably 100 city vehicles, 100 DPW vehicles on the road. I've been to this council meeting. I can't tell you how many times where senior citizens have come here and put claims in for tires that have blown out because they've hit potholes. So why isn't there a list of where the potholes are? See, if we had GPS in our vehicles, we would know where the potholes are. We would know where the trucks are. We would improve our fuel efficiency as much as 30%, and it's inexpensive to do that. So we've had this conversation about GPS for the last 5 years, and last year, Mayor Solomon, when you were the council president, you said we were looking into GPS. So has there been any thought about instituting GPS in our DPW vehicles for the purpose of efficiency and tracking potholes and tracking our manpower?
First of all, when it comes to tracking potholes, we don't have the manpower to track potholes. We need all the assistance that we can get when a pothole is spotted or encountered, that it be called into the office or DPW so that we can address it. Second of all, this is a telephone. It's an iPhone. Some people have Samsung, some people have other phones. Each one of these phones are equipped with location so that if a phone is in a vehicle somewhere, it can be located.
Are you saying?
So what I'm saying is you're carrying a GPS on your person. I'm carrying a GPS on my person. That's what I'm telling you. Now, that's the simplistic approach, okay, that I'm pointing out to you. Yes, there has been examination, not to track people or invade privacy, but to allocate where equipment and machinery are. That is something that we are researching, and we will continue to search out and go out for our RFP with. But that has nothing to do with that sensor in that vehicle is not going to tell me that there's a pothole in the street. So that's not going to solve that problem. To solve that pothole in the street, I need participation from vigilant peoples, such as yourself. When you see a pothole, call my office, call DPW, report it, and we will repair that pothole.
I think we do, Mayor, but I think, you know, I didn't want to go down this line, but I have to comment on something you just said about GPS invading people's privacy. Let me just explain something, and I know that because you're...
No. Telephone on your person. Right. I don't want to know where you are an hour from now.
No.
I don't want to know where you are 2 hours
from now. It's where I am. Let me continue now.
Mr. Cordy, just so we're clear, let him finish your question and answer, just so we're not talking over one another. Thank you.
So my question was, has there been any thought to implementation of GPS in our city vehicles? For a lot of reasons. You've got so many vehicles on the road. If a DPW worker or a highway worker is driving down the road and he sees a pothole or hits a pothole, he pushes a button, it goes to a central location, and you have it tracked. The reason I ask you this is because I happen to be very dear friends with the town manager in Hyannis, who instituted GPS in their DPW vehicles, and they saw an immediate 30% savings in wear and tear and fuel. So for less than a dollar a day, you can do a variety of things. So when you said to me just now about implementing GPS for the purpose of evading people's privacy, that was not my point. That's not where I was going with that at all. But the fact of the matter is that as a public servant, you have no expectation of privacy while you're on the clock. None. And that's been upheld by the Supreme Court of the United States. So I don't want to go down that line. Let's continue with DPW.
No, I have a question for you, if I may.
Okay.
I'm intrigued by this DPW director at Hyannis. He has a GPS device that'll tell him where a pothole is located. Is that what you're saying?
No, they have a system. They have a system in their vehicles where when you have a GPS on and you have a pothole, you get a coordinate where that pothole is or where that fallen tree is, and you can enter it into the program, and it goes right into your mainframe, and you have it on a work order.
Well, if you could, just have them send that along
We actually have that.
I would love to look at that. That sounds like a very interesting program.
Okay.
I think that would be very helpful. Thank you.
Okay. So I guess... And one of the reasons I say that, Mayor, is when people come here to the council meeting with a claim on a broken tire or rim, I've often heard in the past, we can't do anything about it because you're the first person that told us about it, right? So they don't pay the claim because they didn't know about that particular pothole. So the person, I've seen numerous people, you know, walk out of here with not getting reimbursed for their flat tire, because they hit a pothole and no one else had told them about the pothole. So I think it's incumbent upon the city and the city workers who are up and down every one of the streets daily to develop that list of where the potholes are at any particular day within reason. We know our streets are bad, so we shouldn't be turning anybody away that has a claim on a pothole. And the vast majority of those people are elderly people, and you know, they walk away and you know, they're not compensated for the problem. So. All right, so let me get back on track. And the only reason I talked about the asphalt first, because you guys were on that subject. So, again, I've got a number of questions based upon line items and current terms of the contract for both the mayor and Mr. Salitro. So I guess the first one would be for the mayor. As I was looking at some of these line items, such as sick leave and salaries, I went online to look at the contracts, but the contracts are not online. So the contracts that we signed, DPW, or and the police for that matter, 10 months ago, are still not available to the general public. Can someone answer why they're not available?
Do you want me to answer? Okay, I'll answer it.
Police is online, actually. The mayor, to his credit,
was the first mayor to institute a policy of verification of contract documents. We all know what happened. We all understand that prior to this, you'd be lucky if you found a contract that was signed by all parties. Our police bargaining unit worked very well with the city of Warwick. We contrasted both documents word by word. We went through each document. Every single page was reviewed by both parties, read, initialed, and signed. I have a copy of it here, and it was online, I believe, a week ago. One original copy, just one, locked in the city clerk's vault. Five true copy originals stamped by the city clerk, every single page, every page, initialed. An authentication page that says this document is 63 pages, has three appendices. Why is that important? It's important so that things aren't added onto these documents. Your alteration of your original is different than mine. Whose is right? The mayor, a short time ago, we've only been here 1 year, took this under his wing. That policy has been out since January. The first CBA to come through the city of Warwick was the FOP, and they were fantastic working with the city of Warwick. We got to the table with Municipal. Municipal had some questions as to whether or not they wanted to think an original as opposed to two originals, which always sat differently with me because I don't think you have two originals, there's only one original. So, unfortunately, Council 94 elected not to sign that day when the mayor was ready, sitting across the table, and we need to work with Municipal to go through those contracts to see whether or not they want to sign those. Rob, we thought it was incredibly important to change the culture of what has gone on here for the longest time. This mayor has done it.
And I applaud you, but let's not forget the fact that I'm the one that brought that to all your attention. All right? Because for years, no one on the council read the contracts, and it was Rob Cody that had to find the discrepancies in the contract and bring it to the attention of this council. So I'm glad that you did that. It's just taken a little too long, and as of tonight, on the DPW contract that I have questions on, that contract is still not available. So I applaud you for doing that. So let's recognize, Mayor, for once, that the guy on this side of the podium is not always the bad guy. And I've worked hard and tireless for you and the council president and the council finance director to bring issues to your attention, to move forward, and to make changes for the betterment of the city of Warwick. But all I hear is comments from Ward 6 using foul language, right? Never. Thank you, Mr. Cody, for helping us out.
May I, Mr. President?
Yes.
First of all, it doesn't benefit any of us to get angry. It's not going to accomplish anything. Let's remain calm. Let's remain positive. We've made some positive changes in a short period of time. As you know, the way our structure is relative to our city charter, there are certain functions of the legislative branch of government. There are certain functions of the executive branch of government. And schools, a separate issue. This is the first time I've been mayor. This is the first time I held the office. I was never mayor before. I was never part of the executive function of government. I sat on this side, the legislative side, of which we were limited as to the information we received. Also, we were limited as to the changes that lie within the executive branch of government, namely, codification of contracts, negotiation of contracts. These things we were never party to on the legislative side. This is something I brought into effect back in 2006. That was my ordinance. And it was overwhelmingly supported by the council, many of which are still here today. But the executive branch of that time vetoed that ordinance for ratification. They thought they should have the unilateral authority to do what they wanted to do. That defeats the check and balance system of government. That's why government is set up the way it is today. And hence, when that legislation was vetoed, the majority of the city council overrode that veto to make that law. So that eliminated the possibility of legal side agreements or any other type of side agreements that did not come before this council. And again, that wasn't because someone was dishonest. That was for the check and balance to be in place in government. Now, we sitting on this council, as I sat on this council, I listened to a lot of positive suggestions. We did what we could do in this branch of government. Hence, putting that ordinance in place, that's something we did in this branch of government. Was it adhered to from the executive branch? Maybe not, but it was law on this side. So we can't be bitter at ourselves for being able or unable to do a function that we did not have the power to deal with. Right now, in 20 years, the city of Warwick has enjoyed a great relationship between the executive branch and the legislative branch of government. We communicate. I have an open door policy with each and every one of my colleagues here. We may agree on things, we may disagree on things, but we talk calmly and we discuss each side of things. And we have public comment periods here at the city council. And each and every one of these council members are accessible to their constituents. So if a constituent has a positive idea that they can carry forward, they will. Unfortunately, a lot of citizens, such as yourself, have good ideas. And then you have some ideas that I may not agree with. But the thing is, we can still communicate in a calm fashion and dispense with the anger, and let's just focus on the positive. Rob, you've come up with some good ideas. Tonight, you told me about this plan in Hyannis. I'm very intrigued. I want to learn about this plan. Because if it's cost efficient, it's something I would like to implement in the city of Warwick. Because that's more government efficiency is going to benefit everybody, the community, our staff, our taxpayers, and those who enjoy all the resources we have to offer here. But I thank you for that. But don't feel that you speak upon deaf ears. We may not always agree, but I do listen.
Mr. Cody, could I just comment on that too?
Yeah.
I've been here in this chamber where you've come before us, and I think what you just heard, and I think what you're seeing, and sometimes it's not fast enough, is we listen not only to you, but we listen to everybody, and we try to make the best educated decisions that we can. And there are some things that block us from making decisions and other things, as the mayor said, that don't. And it's not an easy job. But don't think for a minute that we're not listening to you, as you just recognized, and that we don't appreciate every citizen that comes before us and brings forward these ideas, as the mayor just said.
Right.
And you have brought many ideas before us. And I appreciate not only your comments, but everybody else's, because they are helpful. Thank you.
I certainly understand that there's a learning curve and, you know, some time to get your feet wet because you were handed, you know, a mess. And I appreciate that, okay? But what I don't appreciate is comments that were made like the other night, the second time, by a council member on a live mic, disparaging somebody of high intellect, someone that has analytical skills. So what happens, Mayor, is when you have that element, people tend not to want to come to interact. And it's been my experience with relationships that I've had with certain council members that the interaction typically is beneficial for both sides. But there has been, for a very long time, an atmosphere in this chambers where we're not wanted. And I don't understand that. Okay?
Mr. Cody, I could just say that if I hear a council member make, which I did not hear, I don't think you heard, I mean, I think some people listen to a tape later on, but, you know, if I hear disparaging words from anyone, and I've said this a number of times, from council members, staff, anyone, I will bang this gavel. You know, so if someone said something under their breath and I didn't hear it, I didn't hear it. I don't think any of the council members heard it either. So, you know, there is going to be, under this council president, a level of decorum by everyone. And I've said that publicly, and I'll say it again now. And I've asked everybody at the beginning of these meetings to have a level of decorum, to be calm, to express your ideas. This is a debate of ideas. It's not about personal attacks, and I certainly don't condone that.
Thank you. And frankly, Mr. President, outside the council chambers, I got a pretty thick skin. I have no problem. I've been called worse. Inside the council chambers, I think it was more disrespectful to the honorable members of the body more than it was to me. So let's move forward. So here's the questions. Relative to line items, maybe you can help me with this. Can either mayor or the chief of staff or the department head on page 59 of the highway department, can you point to the line item that indicates the holiday reimbursement?
Are you referring to a certain contract provision that we can start from so I get the appropriate person here, Rob?
No. I'm just referring to particular line items. So, for example, the holiday reimbursement and unused sick pay.
Gene, do you want to come up here and help us with this? Those line items are currently in fire and police. I'm not so sure they're in municipal.
No, we have holiday reimbursement in the Department of Public Works.
I have the municipal contract here. Exactly.
Yeah, I do too. So the reason I'm asking you that is in May of 2017, the City Council unanimously put forth PCO 17-17, which indicates that every department shall break out the following in a separate line item: salaries, overtime, sick pay, unused sick pay, vacation pay, and holiday pay. And each of those line items shall have the information required by Section 522. And we'll have the proposed expenditure in the amount for last year. So in DPW, we do have an unused sick pay policy where people are reimbursed for their unused sick pay. We don't have a line item for that. And the ordinance is clear. This ordinance was unanimously signed by every member of the City Council. So I'm wondering why that this budget has basically been shown to deviate from the ordinance that was ratified on May 1st, 2017.
The only two line items we have is if it's is sick time as prescribed within the collective bargaining unit, that'd be 63,100.
Sorry to interrupt you. Mr. Cody, could you give us the PCR number of the document that you're looking at?
PCO 1717.
Thank you.
So, if you recall, this line item, this conversation became relevant because in the past administration they were rolling sick time and holiday time into the line item salary, right? And we found out that we couldn't do that. So this council put forth this resolution indicating that all of those separate line items have to be broken out. So in going through the contract, we see that there is a provision for unused sick pay and the accumulation of unused sick pay and how it's paid out. So I'm just wondering, obviously, I think I can answer the question that they're taking those payments and just rolling them into the line item of salaries and not breaking it out into a separate line item.
The only sick time payout by contract is the 3-day, 90-day bonus for
right.
the union.
for not taking sick time.
That's correct.
So that's an unused sick pay bonus, which by ordinance has to be broken out on a separate line item. And it has to be forecast for the following year. And that's not done.
I'm not so sure that ordinance actually has that as a prescribed method within the actual budget itself. That's broken down in the personnel department. We can get you those figures.
No, it's not.
Is this correct, person? Hold on.
The 3-day and the 90-day bonus. The 3-day and the 90-day bonus are contractual for municipal employees that meet certain criteria. That bonus is paid through a budget line item through a payroll, employee benefits.
I can't hear Billy.
Okay, so that's broken down into employee benefits. I'm sorry, Rob. I turn your attention, and I was hesitant because I know we're on DPW, so this goes to the employee benefits, Mr. Chair, at 75181, and I know this is not germane to this particular issue, so your indulgence.
But it's broken out in police and fire. Why isn't it broken out in DPW?
I'm just answering the question. It's 75181. That's not in DPW. It's under employee benefits, which is a consolidation of all the service professional services that get paid out those bonuses.
Well, I don't think unused sick time is a professional service.
No, it's called sick pay bonus. That's the entitle. 75181. I'm not so sure you can get any clearer than that.
What page?
69, I'm sorry. Again. Oh, I don't. It's here anyway. We're on employee benefits.
So 75181?
That's correct. And again, I'm hesitant because we're on DPW, so I think we did employee benefits last night. So I was a little confused as to...
Okay, so I guess my question would be, because I was obviously looking at that, looking for that in the departmental budget. So where it says employee benefits, does this employee benefits spreadsheet take into consideration more than just the Department of Public Works? So how do we itemize that sick pay bonus, 75181? What portion of that is from the employees of the Department of Public Works?
Excuse me, are we allowed to discuss this with the Open Meetings Act?
Yeah. So I apologize because we're looking up the ordinance. I know that Councilman Sinapi has a few questions after you have your... Mr. Cody has the floor, and I'll certainly allow you to interrupt, but I think we're just trying to get some information first.
Right, I'm not trying to supersede him. I'm just worried as Mr. DePasquale correctly pointed out, we are currently now talking about something that was from yesterday's agenda, and it's not on today's agenda.
I understand that.
Correct. That's okay.
I mean, the issue is the breakdown. The issue is the following... This ordinance that he's talking about applies to every line item in the budget.
Okay.
Yeah, so it does apply to this. Just
fair
to
enough.
Be.
I'm sorry, but this, in all due respect, this is a line item. 75181, sick pay bonus. It's as clear as...
Right, for which department, Bill?
It's all the department.
No, it's not, because the sick pay bonus for the fire department was $1,092,421. It's clearly not listed here.
I can't hear you.
So my question is, if it's under employee benefits, right?
Okay, are we on fire or are we on municipal? I'm incredibly... We're here, in all due respect, on a municipal... DPW, last time I checked, was municipal. We were on sick time. This is commensurate with the sick time. If we're talking about fire,
you're missing, Bill, you're missing my point.
This sick time is only related to municipal because we're talking about municipal. I'm not so sure we can kind of stray off to every department and not make this, you know, a fiasco tonight.
You're going the wrong way, Bill. What I'm saying is this sick pay bonus, right? This ordinance says every department shall break it out. So we have Department of Public Works, Highway Department. We have Sanitation Department. We have Parks and Recreation. We've got all these departments under the Department of Public Works. The city's ordinance says each department shall break out that line item. So all I'm saying is this line item of 75,181, that's all departments. How do you break that out per department, whether it's sanitation, highway, or parks and recreation? How do you track that? If I was to say to you right now, tell me what the actual number was for the unused sick pay bonus in the highway department, you could not answer that question, correct?
I could answer it tomorrow. Absolutely, I disagree with the point. I respect your point, Rob. But when you're wrong, you're wrong. In this
case,
I'm
not wrong. This is the city's
okay,
ordinance.
Okay, when you're done, I'll talk.
Right?
The Director of Public Works oversees many divisions, okay? We have a spreadsheet. And if we were to call in the spreadsheet, you have the umbrella, which is DPW, with several divisions. On that spreadsheet, if you were in highway, you'd be able to actually see the sick time in highway versus other divisions that the director has. That's about all I can say. I'm not so sure I can answer that any other way.
You got that.
So if you recall that when this ordinance came up, it was unanimously signed and it was vetoed by the mayor, and then it came back and it was unanimously, the veto was overridden. So I guess I'm just saying from a mathematical point of view, that if I was looking at this budget, if I was the director, does the director have a tool in his possession that says, okay, in the highway department we had X amount of dollars that was expended?
Yes, Rob.
You have that line item?
He has a spreadsheet, which is a line item. If you're taking the individual spreadsheet, Rob, right? And they're going to have individual tabs. The director is afforded that one of his divisions has X number of sick days versus another.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to answer that.
Well, I'm just taking the ordinance by the letter of the law, and there was great conversation about this, and it just says every single department shall break it out. So let's agree to get clarity on that, because right now there's no clarity on that.
We can do one better. We can actually send you the spreadsheet tomorrow.
All right, that would be great.
Okay?
Okay,
thank
perfect.
You.
Mr. Cody, not to interrupt you for a sec, but just for the edification, everybody that doesn't know what we're talking about, this was an ordinance that I sponsored.
Correct.
That was vetoed by the previous administration regarding transparency.
Correct.
And the previous council overrode that veto.
That's correct.
So thank you for bringing that to our attention. But
and it was done in a studious manner, which is why I asked the question, because we had this conversation that if this is instituted correctly, it gives this city council an extra tool to be able to disseminate the budget. So when I was looking through here, through each of the departments, I didn't see the unused sick pay. I didn't see holiday reimbursement, so I couldn't find that number. So clearly that number is being rolled back into the salary line item, which should probably be clarified.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
And Mr. Sinapi might have a question on that, or you don't, or does that clarify it? Thank you.
Okay, so back to sick leave, maybe either the mayor or Mr. Salitro. Can you explain how, I believe I understand how the Department of Public Works, the sick leave is accumulated for every month worked. There's another day that's added to the person's sick leave bank. And it's between 8.75 hours and 10 hours, depending on the person, correct?
Correct.
So that is a cumulative up until 120 days, correct?
Correct.
So if the individual, I read a provision that kind of struck me. If the individual does not have any sick leave left, if he's used all of the sick leave, we can actually advance the individual 15 days sick leave? So the individual has no sick leave. If you go to section 17.13, we can advance that person 15 days sick leave. My question is, how do we track that?
Mr. Cody, that's tracked by the personnel department.
In speaking with Jean Bouchard, who's sitting adjacent to me, she said it's been done once in the history of the city. Okay. So that Jean's aware of, and she's been here for a while.
Okay, fair enough. So we can accumulate 120 sick days, which we start to get reimbursed for those that we don't use on an annual or on a 90-day basis, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so then I also saw, which again, I didn't see a line item for this, but it's called annual leave. So it's a benefit other than sick leave. Are you guys familiar with that? That's in the contract? So what I've read is for every month that an employee works, other than his vacation, other than sick leave, he accumulates what's called annual leave. And he can accumulate one day per month up to 12 days in a year. And to accumulate that one day, he only has to work 12 days in the month. Right? So we got 120 sick days. And now we got another 12 days of annual leave. So how is the annual leave tracked? Is that tracked via electronic system, computer system, or spreadsheet, or?
The vacation time. Vacation time that the vacation time I believe you're referring to is tracked. It's tracked by personnel by recording of daily timesheets and also the departments. And our department contacts each individual payroll clerk to ensure that they have the same balances that we do. So we examine the timesheets.
So I'm not talking about vacation. I'm not talking about vacation. I'm talking about a paragraph on page 13 of the contract that's called annual leave. It's separate and apart from vacation. Vacation is a completely separate issue.
Can I see that?
And it says annual leave for employees with less than 3 years of service. An employee with less than 3 years of service as of July 1 shall earn one workday of annual leave for each calendar month. Employees who work 12 or more days in any calendar month shall be eligible for that leave. So that's over and above the sick time and the vacation time.
Can I read something? That's Article 18. For the purposes of the agreement, this is right from the agreement, annual leave and vacation mean the same.
So why do we have a separate break? So we have a separate breakdown of vacation, though, Bill, right? We have a separate breakdown
I think
of vacation?
It's vacation and annual leave are the same thing. I think when you have a new employee, you may consider that an annual leave at that point.
Oh, is that because
I think the tracking you bring up is a good point. And I want to tell you right now that Mayor Solomon instituted in our police and fire automated tracking system. Again, he's been here a year. He's already got that up and running. Okay? So we do shift swaps. We do recording. Your point's well taken. Right? We have a director. We fill out my vacation. Goes to personnel, goes through a protocol, and it is manual, and you're correct in that. Once Mayor Solomon has the police and fire up and running, which we've already, you know, gone down, we're going to the rest of the city to have that modernized because it is very antiquated.
So that's all being done now electronically, police and fire?
We went out to bid, and we just...
In process?
Yes.
Oh,
the bid was approved.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Thank
but
you.
Your point's well taken, though.
So, all right, so that's good. That clears that up. So with the annual leave or the vacation leave, what happens after it's accrued their maximum? If they don't use it, are they paid for that, like unused vacation?
They're allowed a carryover, which is dictated in the contract.
So they can carry it over from one contract for one contract? Correct?
Only the amount that's indicated in the contract. There's a number of days for a certain amount of years of service that they're able to carry over it. If they haven't used anything other than that, then they lose it.
And so if they don't use it, they lose it after that contract period?
That's correct. It's use it or lose it, and it goes, again, the contract I'm reading from, 6 to 10 years is 8, it goes up to 30 years and over. Say if you're here 30 years and over, you can carry 14, but you're correct. You use it or lose it after
and,
those.
And I would assume that upon retirement, if they have accrued vacation, they're paid out for that accrued vacation time. I believe I read it was 50% of 1 1/4 days. So they have a benefit, so when they leave, whatever is that's unused, they get paid.
That's correct.
Okay. I'm almost done. No applause. So one of the other things I talked about, because, you know, we've all been talking about, you know, how stretched we are, how stretched thin we are with money. And I kind of ponder back to in July when we were talking about these two contracts that we were passing them with our raises and so forth. And there were several council members that spoke about, you know, these guys work really hard and you were only getting a 2.75% raise. It's really not a lot of money. But what I did discover looking in the contract today was there's a page that's actually not on the table of index, the table of contents, and it's in the annex, appendix A, I believe, step increases. So I just wanted to understand this, just so I can get a grasp on moving forward what the pay increases are. So it says that each year from employees with years of service, 4 years through 7 years, they get a 7.5% increase. It's in the last page, the appendix. I'm sorry, not the last page, but it's after page 37.
You got to give them an opportunity to catch up.
Yeah, I know.
Because you're asking a question, they don't have the page, so.
Okay, the only way we can go forward with this back and forth, if you can give me an article and appendices.
Yeah, I did see that.
You know, I don't know what copy you're reading on, but that's why.
It's not in the index. It's after the last page that actually has a page number 37, and it goes into the page with Appendix A in the very back of the contract.
All right, hold on,
that's
hold
why
on.
You can't find it in the table of index, table of contents.
All right, I have 37 is miscellaneous on mine, okay, Article 37. Then it goes to Article 38, which is savings clause, Article 39, termination.
Right, next page, increase schedule.
So that's actually 39, and that was the confusion. So clearly there's pages, I don't know where you got that document. So increases 4 through 7.
Right,
okay.
So am I correct in understanding this, that an employee that has been employed with the city between 4 years and 7 years, each year he gets a 7.5% increase?
Yes, that is a step increase by contract.
Okay, so, and then...
Municipal union only.
Right, so then that goes from 7.5 to 9.5 to 10.5, 12, 13, 14.
That's correct.
This is what's very important, what people don't understand, and the general public has no idea. When we came before this council last year, when they were speaking about the ratifications, we heard the city council members stating they're only getting a 2.75% raise. It's barely enough to cover the cost of living. That just was not true. In fact, if you've been here between 4 years and 7 years, right, every year, you're getting a 10.75% raise every year.
No, that's not true. That's not true.
9.75%. 2.75.
So if I'm year 7 and I'm going to year 8, the differential, say I'm 7.5, right, Rob?
Yep, and then, 7.5 and 2.75.
And then you'll get 2.75. And I just
10.
Have a question.
2.5.
I'm not so sure we're re-prosecuting the hearings that we had on a contract. And
no,
I
no,
want
no.
to mention one thing, too, that Mayor Solomon... These contracts were 90% drafted before this gentleman to my right went from there to there.
Bill.
Right? So I'm just, I'm only saying that to fair playing field, right? Set a baseline.
Yeah.
That all this may be correct. And going forward, when we look at OPEB and pensions and increases...
I'm just bringing up something for a point of clarification.
Right. And I thought we were... Right. I understand.
Okay.
So but I don't know how we got here from... Where were we? Highway? Highway. Okay.
Right. And it's relative to this because it falls into the line item of salaries, which is why I'm bringing it up.
But it's contractual. You know what I'm saying?
I understand it's contractual.
But there's... So the public debate tonight, right, supposed to be about a budget that is going to be going forward. We can't do anything in this room, as much as we may want to change that contract language. Nothing.
I'm not asking you to do that.
No. So what I'm saying is that discussion here is really irrelevant.
It's not irrelevant, Bill, and here's why it's not irrelevant. Because the people that are paying this bill last July 16th were told by this city council that... Our workers are only getting this 2.75% raise. And this contract was ratified under this administration and under this council. So what I would just like to clarify is that the workers are not just getting a 2.75% raise. In fact, they're getting a 10.25% raise.
That's incorrect. And the disparity between your assumption is that the universe is all... able to have the 4-7 or 25th year. That's not the universe of all our employees. Some people are here 3 years, some people are 30 years.
We're talking about this particular line says an employee that's been employed with the Department of Public Works for between 4 years and 7 years, he receives an annual 7.5% pay raise, right or wrong?
So that contract language has been there for X number of years. How is that relevant to the line item?
Listen, I'm not going to tolerate everybody yelling over one another. If somebody has a question, you answer it. If somebody has an answer, you answer it. But, you know, I do think at some point in time, Mr. Cody, if you agree to disagree, that's fine. But the contract, I think, does speak for itself. And when you make comments about what the council said, I think you're talking about individual council members. Everybody's comments are online for everybody to read.
So,
and to some extent, Mr. DePasquale's right. We have had this debate. If there's a question, certainly ask the question, and we can move on.
Okay, so here's the question. It'll be really easy. Is it fair to say that an employee of the Department of Public Works who's been employed for between 4 years and 7 years... under this contract that was signed by this administration, receives a 7.5% annual bonus and the 2.75% pay raise? That's the question I
have. That's false.
False.
False. It's an increment. Did you say yes or no?
Well, I'm reading right from the contract that says they get a 7.5% step increase every year. And you get a 2.75% pay raise.
Rob, I'm not going to step on anyone's toes here this evening. We're dealing with the budget and the figures in the budget. Figures in the budget are a result of the contractual obligations. I'm not going to recite each and every paragraph of the contract that has not been signed. Not because of any reason. It has not been signed. That's why you haven't seen it, and it hasn't been open to the public. Once the bargaining group signs that contract in accordance with our new procedure, where there is one original, not several originals that may have discrepancies and cross-offs, but one original kept in the vault, then we can answer the provisions of that
contract.
But
this is the one that's
online
now.
But I think what we're dealing with now is the numbers at hand and this year's fiscal budget. And I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think that's why we're here this evening. But that's a subject for another day, that I have no problem once that contract's signed of agreeing or not agreeing to what you're saying.
Okay, so I just asked that because it falls under the line item of salaries, and when we're looking at salary increases, We have to take into consideration, yes, that salary increase was a product of the 2.75% wage increase that we had to raise, and also the 7.25% annual increase due to step raises.
I need to clarify the record. It is not an annual compounding. Hold on.
Look.
If you had a doubt.
All right. Bill. Let's move on from this. It speaks for itself. Everybody can interpret the contract.
Let's clarify it later, Bill.
No, there's a cost increases. Yes.
All right. I believe that's all I got. I just wanted to show that, I think our employees are very well compensated. I think they have lots and lots of perks. I think those perks dramatically exceed the perks that the members of the general public have that are paying these bills. And I think we're at that breaking point where it becomes intolerable for any more perks. Thank you.
Thank you. Is any other members of the public here to speak on this? If not, we'll move on to the next item. Could I indulge everybody for like a 30-second or 2-minute break? I just had a nice coffee, and could I have a 5-minute recess? 5-minute recess. All those in favor?
Aye.
Unfortunately, I can't leave the podium. Thank you.